Geiger's initial testing of Rutherford's scattering formula had been quick and limited in scope. Marsden now joined him in spending most of the next year conducting a more thorough investigation. By July 1912, their results confirmed the scattering formula and the main conclusions of Rutherford's theory. The complete check, Marsden recalled years later, was a laborious but exciting task. In the process, they also discovered that the charge of the nucleus, taking into account experimental error, was about half the atomic weight. With the exception of hydrogen, with an atomic weight of 1, the number of electrons in all other atoms had to be approximately equal to half the atomic weight. It was now possible to nail down the number of electrons in a helium atom, for example, as 2, where previously it could have been as many as 4. However, this reduction in the number of electrons implied that Rutherford's atom radiated energy even more strongly than had previously been suspected. As Rutherford recounted tales from the first Solvay conference for Bohr's benefit, he failed to mention that in Brussels, neither he nor anyone else discussed his nuclear atom. Back in Cambridge, the intellectual rapport that Bohr sought with Thomson never happened. Years later, Bohr identified one possible reason for the failure. "I had no great knowledge of English, and therefore I did not know how to express myself. And I could say only that this is incorrect," and he was not interested in the accusation that it was not correct. Infamous for neglecting papers and letters from students and colleagues alike, Thomson was also no longer actively engaged in electron physics. Increasingly disenchanted, Bohr met Rutherford again at the Cavendish Research Students' annual dinner. Held in early December, it was a rowdy, informal affair with toasts, songs, and limericks following a 10-course meal. Once again struck by the personality of the man, Bohr seriously began thinking about swapping Cambridge and Thomson for Manchester and Rutherford. Later that month, he went to Manchester and discussed the possibility with Rutherford. A young man separated from his fiancée, Bohr desperately wanted something tangible to show for their year apart. Telling Thomson that he wanted to know something about radioactivity, Bohr was granted permission to leave at the end of the new term. "The whole thing was very interesting in Cambridge," he admitted many years later, "but it was absolutely useless." With only 4 months left in England, Bohr arrived in Manchester in the middle of March 1912 to begin a 7-week course in the experimental techniques of radioactive research. With no time to lose, Bohr spent his evenings working on the application of electron physics to provide a better understanding of the physical properties of metals. With Geiger and Marsden among the instructors, he successfully completed the course and was given a small research project by Rutherford. "Rutherford is a man whom one cannot be mistaken about," Bohr wrote to Harold. "He comes regularly to hear how things are going and talk about every little thing." Unlike Thomson, who seemed to him unconcerned about the progress of his students, Rutherford was really interested in the work of all people who are around him. He had an uncanny ability to recognize scientific promise. 11 of his students, along with several close collaborators, would win the Nobel Prize.